John chapter 6 and from verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. It is especially verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And our theme this morning is the only one. The only one. There is only one Saviour. We only need one, but there is only one. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ is there deliverance. Only in him is the bread of life. Only in the Lord Jesus is there the Saviour that we so much need. Only in him is there wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. And apart from him, there is no hope for any one of us as sinners in the sight of God. All that we need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was powerfully illustrated in the physical realm in the feeding of the 5,000. Just as the Lord Jesus could give bread to the 5,000 so that their stomachs were filled, so he can satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. He can save to the uttermost those sinners who come to God by him. Many of the Jews, however, were offended. They were offended, and Christ posed to them this question that we put to you last week. Doth this offend you? Because the gospel, though it is a gospel of grace, is offensive, not in itself, but to the pride of man. Such is the sinfulness of the human heart that it is offended by the idea of salvation, all of grace. You see, the gospel is a message of dependence. And this led them to say, this is a hard saying. There was nothing, that word hard doesn't mean difficult, it means harsh. As if it was a hard thing, a harsh thing, to tell sinners that they are dependent upon the grace of God in Christ Jesus. It seemed harsh to them, just as the world to this day finds it harsh and somehow unacceptable and indeed distasteful to be told that salvation is all of grace through faith in Christ Jesus, and that that sinners must learn dependence upon Christ as the bread of life. So they are offended by the Lord Jesus, by his saying that he is the bread of life, and showing in the physical realm what he can do in the spiritual by the feeding of the 5,000. And therefore he says, by way of comparison, if this offends you, what and if you see him go again? Verse 62, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? If you're offended at seeing the Christ, who you think is the son of Mary and Joseph, simply, and of course we know that physically he was only the son of Mary, not of Joseph, but if you think you know all there is to know, what will be your offense when you see him vindicated by his resurrection and exaltation to the right hand of the Father? It needs nothing other than the work of the Spirit of God to receive this truth with meekness. Not just natural strength, not just the flesh, not just man in his state after the fall. It needs more than that. It needs the Spirit of God to change the heart so that they are willing to be believers of his will. And you know, all of us here, if we're born of the Spirit, whether young or old, we have God to thank. And we should thank God, because none of us are naturally believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us. There is nothing in the Word of God, nothing in the truth of God's covenant with the children of believers that makes conversion to Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, a natural thing to man. It is the work of the Spirit of God, always, whether young or whether old, whether he regenerates in our younger days, in our middle years, or in our old age. It is the work of the Spirit of God, and that alone has made us to differ. That is why, if we are believers, we are believers, and not walking on in darkness. The trouble with the Jews, the leaders especially, was that they needed to be taught of God. Otherwise, they would go on in their proud, foolish ways until they receive in outer darkness the just deserts of their sins under the judgment of God. Now, first of all, there are three groups, but it comes down to two. But there are three groups that we can identify here. First of all, why some went away. Verse 66. Why some went away. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The professed disciples, those who claimed to be followers, those who had followed him to this desolate place, they were offended now, and they went away. Why did they go away? Having followed the Lord Jesus outwardly so far, why did they go away? It was due to impatience. Impatience caused by ignorance of their real need. That's why they went away. They had never seen themselves as sinners needing a Saviour. They had never seen themselves in need of what Christ alone could give them. The truth was nonsense to these who were wise in their own eyes. They saw no need of such a Saviour, and they became impatient when Christ insisted that he was that kind of Saviour. If he was simply a political Messiah who would deliver them from the Romans and from their oppressors, then fine. But if he was going to insist that he was the bread of life in a higher and spiritual sense, then they didn't want it. A message of everlasting life meant nothing to them because they didn't consider themselves under the sentence of death. A message of pardon meant nothing to them because they were oblivious to their condemnation. And their assessment of the Lord Jesus Christ's message was as superficial as their assessment of themselves. They were not stopped in their tracks. They have no patience to reflect. The scripture says, the wicked through his pride of face upon God doth not call. You remember the book of Malachi, how Judah was rebuked. And every time they said, wherein have we offended thee? Wherein have we robbed thee? When have we done it? When have we, they kept questioning. Every time God condemned them, they said, when have we done this? Perhaps you're like that. You're told you're a sinner. You say, what do you mean I'm a sinner? Not me. What, me? Yes, you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And you haven't just not quite measured up. All our actions are sinful. All our thoughts, all our words, all our actions are sinful. And so they were offended. The proud he knoweth afar off. And if you're offended by the gospel, there is no alternative. There is no fallback plan. There is no plan B. This is the way God saves sinners. And if it's offensive to your pride, then that pride, unless God saves you, that pride will lead you to hell. Also, a message of dependence was unacceptable. Utterly unacceptable. Christianity is supremely a message of dependence. Dependence upon Jesus Christ to save and give eternal life. In fact, even our willingness to depend comes from God. That's how Christ said, no man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So great is our dependence. It has to be given to us of the Father. We have to be given a new heart before we're willing to depend upon the Saviour. You see, all religions are not the same. Pagan or pseudo-Christian believe in either salvation is unnecessary, or we can do it ourselves, or we can do it in part ourselves. Whereas true biblical Christianity says that if anyone is saved, they're saved by grace, through faith, and not of themselves. It is the gift of God. The undeserved favor of God in Christ Jesus. It's the antithesis, the opposite of what you have in Genesis 3, verse 5, where Satan, where the devil, under the cover of the serpent, tempted the woman. Ye shall be as gods. And the biblical gospel says at all points, no, you're not. You're not gods. You're an accountable creature who sinned against God. And God can have mercy as he pleases. And the only way he shows that mercy, consistent with his justice, is in Jesus Christ. And it is this message, so offensive to human pride, that these Jews couldn't stomach. They couldn't see themselves as sinners and as sinners who needed to depend upon the only Saviour that God was pleased to give. Secondly, why some remained? Why some remained? Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Will ye also go away? But it's a question not of desperation, but expecting a positive response. In Greek, it's not like Hebrew, it's not like English, you can actually, there's more than one way of asking a question. And so when Christ says, will ye also go away? It's not a forlorn question, as if we were rather despondent, will you also go away? It's not like that. It's, you'll not go away, sure you won't. And they wouldn't go away. They were born of the Spirit, and his seed remaineth in him. So it's not a question of forlorn desperation, but of reassurance. They won't go away. Peter's response on behalf of them all was not perfect, because he says, we believe. Well, most of them did, but one of them was the devil. It's very emphatic, we. But there was an exception. But Christ takes his confession, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. It's true of most of them, but it's not true of them all. But in this confession we have the uniqueness of Christ. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter's understanding was very poor at this stage. He was groping. But the root of the matter was in him. He trusted the Saviour. He did know that he must go somewhere, that he needed everlasting life. Everyone looks for some kind of satisfaction somewhere. We, in that sense, are without money and without price. We are thirsty. We all look for satisfaction. But he recognized that Christ alone was able to give it. Thou hast the words. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He recognized that Christ was unique. He recognized that Christ had the right, the authority, to truly proclaim the promises of everlasting life. He had power to give eternal life. Despite majority opinion. Majority opinion was that Christ was an imposter. But Peter believed contrary to popular opinion. And we're called upon today to believe what the world does not believe. That's the same in every age. But the proportions are against us, at least in this country. The majority do not believe. The majority of people believe that what we believe is nonsense. That we are a lingering remnant of the past. And yet we say, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And Peter was willing, and his fellow disciples, apart from Judas, to submit to the word of Christ. Peter's understanding of the words of eternal life was probably very shaky, very cloudy. But he was willing to submit. He was willing to depend upon the Saviour for everlasting life. In Christ was everlasting life, not in himself. And for that reason, Peter was showing that he was regenerate, that he was born of the Spirit. He was willing to listen to Christ. He was willing to submit to Christ. Is that true of us? Are we genuine believers? Can we say, "Thou hast the words of eternal life"? Have you seen the uniqueness of Christ? That there is no hope apart from him. That he only is the one who can give righteousness to guilty sinners. That he has fulfilled all righteousness as God manifest in the flesh. That he has borne the guilt, the sin of many. And he gives it to those whom he causes to believe on him. Have you trusted in him as the only Saviour? Or do you think he's just one of many? One of the great faiths that is spoken of so much. If you think he's one of many, you are none of his. Because he's not one of many. He's one and only. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. No one else has them. No one. Not Muhammad. Not the Dalai Lama, not anybody. Only Christ can give eternal life to sinners. Do you trust in him uniquely as the only Saviour that there is? It's not fashionable, but it wasn't fashionable then. The last thing the Jews wanted to hear with people saying, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." But he said it. Is that true of us? That Christ is unique. That we are not just interested in religion. We're interested in biblical Christianity. Because the Lord Jesus is the Saviour. Thirdly, why one remain? Verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Judas stayed on. Peter spoke on behalf of the 12. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew the hearts of men, says, "Well, it's true of 11 of you, but not 12. Judas looked like the rest. We've often mentioned, you remember at the Last Supper, when Christ said one should betray him, They all said, "Lord, is it I?" They didn't turn to Judas because he looked different. Judas was part of the visible church. He professed like the other disciples. When the disciples were sent out two by two, presumably Judas was with them. Presumably he wrought miracles as they did. He looked no different. And he stayed on when other people went away. He stayed on against the majority opinion. Perhaps he thought that this Jesus of Nazareth, who had been such a disappointment, would come good. Because to Judas he was, you know, it was otherworldly, it wasn't reality. That's how he thought. Perhaps you think that. You think, "Well, this is all very well, but what about the real issue?" Well, this is the real issue. politicians talk about the real issues, the substantive issues. But this is the real issue. Do we have eternal life? That's the real issue. The other things have their place, but this above all. Because we're all going to die, we're all going to leave this world. This is what really matters. But Judas saw himself as a practical man. All this airy-fairy stuff he thought was for some, if you like, that sort of thing, but not for him. And so he resented. He resented more and more and more until he betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss. But Judas despised the word of Christ. Peter was saying, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." What did Judas care? Why did Judas stay? Here's a good question. Why did Judas stay on? The love of money? Certainly he had a great love for money. He was a thief. He had the bag. He betrayed the Lord Jesus for money. Remember the woman anointing the feet of Jesus? He complained about that, and the foolish disciples, the true disciples, but the fools nonetheless, at this point they were influenced by Judas. He said, this money could have been sold, this ointment could have been sold and given to the poor. This, he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag. What was the conscious reason? It's difficult to say exactly at this stage. But he maintained his profession. But for the wrong reason. Perhaps you do it for self-esteem, for respectability, for tradition's sake. But Judas managed to avoid thinking, at least positively, about the truth. Imagine that, so close. And yet, when he killed himself, he went to his own place. So close, physically, to the Saviour himself, the very best of teachers, the Lord Jesus himself. And yet he was lost. Because he didn't receive his word. He didn't, like Peter, say, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." Or if he said it, he didn't mean it. He avoided the truth and therefore built up hostility. But where are you? There are three groups. But in the end, there are two. There are only sheep and the goats. The false professor is simply a variation of the goats. They're unusual in that they are goats, but profess to be sheep, whereas most goats are very, very obviously goats. There are those who go back. They stop going to church, as it were. They're disinterested. It doesn't seem relevant. This gospel seems irrelevant. Because there's no sense of need. Too complacent to rise to any level of mental effort. That the gospel might be true, or it's of no interest. And the reason it's of no interest is because of a lack of a sense of need. And so when you hear the gospel, you say, well, so what? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So what? Is that your response? So what? Because you don't see yourself as a sinner in need of a saviour. You don't see yourself as impoverished and in need of the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the guilt of sin, though he had no sin of his own. And so the gospel is of no interest to you. Even though it is the most relevant message for you in the world. Even though you are a sinner in the sight of God, you don't see yourself in that light at all. And so we take no notice of the gospel with its message of dependence. In fact, it annoys you. It irritates you to be told you must depend upon Christ and him alone for salvation. You find it offensive to hear this talk about a propitiation, a sin bearer, one who bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners. And you can't wait to get away from it. The fact of the matter is, you must be born again, or you shall not see the kingdom of God. On the other hand, perhaps you profess to be a believer, but you're not. Like Judas, who appeared to be a follower of Christ, but whose heart was utterly estranged from him. Verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Haven't I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" There's much discussion as to why he did. Why did he choose Judas? But why does Christ in this world often suffer that there should be wheat among the tares, that are tares among the wheat? For his own glory. That at the last day you'd perfectly separate the wheat and the chaff. But Judas was a church member, a regular attender. But he didn't love the Lord Jesus. But he still stayed on. Whatever your motive, do you love the Saviour? Is that what governs and what motivates? Is that why you come to church? Because you love him. With Judas it wasn't, and it shows how far a man can go. What can be done for the wrong reason? But it was wrong. And he went to his own place. Or are you like the believers? The believers in this passage, the apostles who did believe. At this stage, they weren't great theologians, but they believed. The one question that really matters, they got right. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They trusted in a unique Christ as the only one who could do helpless sinners any good at all. Have you seen your need of Christ? That you are a sinner in the sight of God, and that God is holy. And he will punish your sins forever unless you trust in the Saviour. This Saviour. No one else will do. No one else can provide an atonement for guilty sinners. No other religion will do but the true one, biblical Christianity, and no other being in existence can save you but the one who made an atonement for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else can do you good. No one else can deliver you from the wrath which your sins deserve. And they do. Your sins are not little sins. You may think they are compared with the sins of others, but in the sight of God, they're big sins. They're great sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a great Saviour, and he can save those who come to him. And he does save them and gives them peace with God. Have you come to this Saviour? Instead of resenting being told you must depend upon him, you must seek him in dependence upon his grace. And you must call upon him. If you have never sought him before, you must seek him now. And you must call upon him as the only one who can save you from your sins. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that thou wilt cause each one of us to see the uniqueness and all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that there is such a Saviour. We know that he is the only Saviour, but the only Saviour we need, that he hath done all things well and able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. So bless thy word to our hearts. Grant that we might all say in our souls, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Hear us, O God, and accept our prayers, for Christ's sake. Amen.